に上がりゃ関係ねえ。
Shall we begin?
Winter is coming.
I can do this all day.
Tear down this wall.
行くぞ。
行くぞ means let's go. So welcome to the totally new era of Ikuzo Unscripted podcast, powered by Jägermeister. Since the dawn of man, people adaptation was followed by invention and acceptance of some kind of organization. Countless generations of humans accepted and occasionally reformed that spiral of hierarchy in their search for power, wealth, love, respect or control. But debate still remains, is social hierarchy good or bad? But one is almost certain that time after time it has proven itself necessary. Necessary so those who created it selflessly, in the lack of the better term, imprisoned themselves, so the human nature wouldn't be the reason for collapse and demise of humans themselves. Have we sacrificed our chaotic nature so we could live in an illusion of an order? Ulka, are you ready to dissect this?
Thank you. It was a very, very beautiful intro.
I know.
Very beautiful intro, I must say. And yes, class is social hierarchy. It's a very complicated profession.
We have to stop using that phrase for now.
I like it. Seriously, it's like you mentioned. Is that this illusion of order that we are we doomed, condemned to this system that we created, or did we even create it in the first place, or is it just a part of our nature that, you know, keeps coming back? Because I kind of wonder, like, if a nuclear bomb hit us, like Putin, mm-hmm. tomorrow.
Also something we need to stop further on, you know.
The civilization forget itself and we are reborn.
Yeah.
Would we also, first time we meet again, form a society, and there would 100% be someone who is at the top and someone who is the lower and someone who is in the middle? And...
Well, yeah. Well, listen, it's a long period of time, you know, if we got nuked.
Yeah.
Because until we got our, well, let's call it the first civilizations that rose, we had some other form of organization, like tribes, for example. There was a social hierarchy of the kind, you know, because in such environment of primal people, you know, strength was the variable that decided who was on the top of the chain and who was on the bottom, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, just like with the animals, the hierarchy of some kind is present everywhere, you know, but there's the good question you proposed. Are we the ones who created the hierarchy, or has the hierarchy created humans as they are today?
We are doomed to it, or is it a doom? but it's like
Emmy is the head that makes the podcast.
Yeah. you can't break it, because we are not equal. We're gonna break ourselves into some categories, like, you know, that's just how it goes. And from some sociological standpoint, when you break it down, one of the most famous classes there, or the simple ones we see, is the rich and poor.
Yeah, and no work class.
Yeah, there was a once thing called middle class. It was a myth.
Yeah.
It was a myth.
Balance.
Yeah. It seemed like it doesn't exist anymore. You know, it's only a fairy tale. that's the usual one, and the one we also. But it's not just that. It's the social status. It's the power. It is the races. It is the color of the skin, ethnicity, everything. Like, mm-hmm. we're kind of. But does it need to be formed in this kind of like steps? Like, this one is above and this one is down and this one is further up and further down. And I don't know. Can we be better than that? You know, it's a tough question to answer.
Yeah. listen, a lot of people would say that hierarchy is the mark of the capitalism.
Yes.
But it is not. Fuck. Obviously, it is not, because we have the hierarchy in all kind of the regimes.
Yes.
And governments and societies throughout the history, like we said.
Yes.
For example. But we often hear the stories that hierarchy is bad. Well, it has the good side and the bad side, as almost everything there is, you know. But we need the hierarchy, because without a hierarchy, which we in some manner forced on ourselves, we would be savages.
Yes.
That's our nature, you know. Because hierarchy is the maybe only thing that stands before the anarchy.
Yeah.
Because although we all think about that anarchy like on utopian way, anarchy would just be bloodsheds and theft and bad things, you know, because that's who we are. But
that's why I can get along with any anarchists or socialists.
Yeah.
Basically, they think of a people like the people are so good. And capitalism, we actually think that people are pieces of shit and always work in their interest, but it doesn't matter because they work in their interest, will eventually with the invisible hand work for the society, something like that.
Well, we accept the burden of hierarchy when we are born. When we are born, upon our birth.
Tell that to Indians.
And we never question it, we never deny it. But economically speaking, you know, there's something that can disturb the hierarchy, revolution, you know.
Yes.
And they come every now and then, like crisis in economy, because we thought that economy is perfect, that market is perfect, but then the crisis came and we got the idea that maybe it isn't perfect, just like hierarchy isn't perfect. So maybe that's not a process we should look upon, like, apart from hierarchy. Because revolutions are the part of hierarchy, because when one hierarchy, when one regime, government or something similar, or just the way of life, goes way out of its limits, the revolution happens every now and then. Never too late.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some cruel crimes in between. But, you know, revolution is some kind of the balance that brings back some hierarchy.
Because, reform.
Yeah, reform. Because after revolution, it's not utopia. It's, again, some other kind of hierarchy, social hierarchy.
I mean, most of the times, revolution doesn't actually work like it was supposed to work.
It works short time.
Yeah. Even if it's successful, it takes a long time for it to, you know, evolve. Like,
think about revolutions in the past.
Yes.
Yeah. So which one really did change the world? French Revolution?
Yes.
American Revolution?
Yes.
For sure. But how many revolutions are there daily, basically, today, you know? Because you have revolutions, for example, in Asia, in Africa, and in South America.
Yeah.
Almost every now and then, you know. Look at Palestine. That's a revolution.
Yes.
And what they got? Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the events of the Arab Spring in 2011.
Yeah.
I remember I was a kid then, you know.
What the fuck is Arab Spring?
Yeah. I mean, during the 2011, we remember the Libyan protest.
Yeah, I remember, but when we were 11, we didn't know what.
But that's what it's called, like, you know, the protests around the Middle East and in Tunisia and, you know, Yemen. And look at the consequences of it, you know, in Yemen is the war still, and Morocco, and kind of, not the biggest reforms were made, although some reforms were made. And like, you think about this, for example, to take the Russian Revolution in the October Revolution in the Russia, which is kind of ironic when you think about it, because Marx thought that the translation to socialism will come after the capitalism.
Uh-huh.
But they actually overthrew.
It was vice versa.
They overthrew the monarchy. They literally overthrown them, killed them, totally. Like, and it's kind of ironic in that way. But for example, Marx, who was obsessed with classes, and he thought of it in a way like the people who own the means of production versus the people who don't own the means of production. But like, for example, I read Max Weber, and he he divided it into...
Marxists don't understand classes.
Yeah, they don't. Because it's kind of funny because Marx, he only had one paid job in his life, and he was actually Engels.
He was his
student.
Yeah.
Did you know this? Because Engels' father was the owner of the textile factory.
Uh-huh.
And it actually from that factory came the founding or the pension fund for the Marx that he lived off basically through the rest of his life. So, yeah. But a kind of irony.
Yeah, no nepotism.
Yeah. But back to the class.
All good fashion work class.
Yeah. The revolutions usually in that, we think about it. Like in 1984, our character gets a book from Goldstein, sort of thought of member of rebellion against the party, that is kind of pandem to how we betrayed revolution from Leon Trotsky. And there it says something very interesting. Like when the revolution happens, the middle class overthrows the ruling class and they came in place of ruling class. And the ruling class came in the place of middle class, but the peasants stay peasant.
Mm.
They don't rise. That may not be true, but in this sense, he was speaking of Russian Revolution mostly, and making it. He was writing about that Trotsky, and now in 1984, Orwell made it like that. But it's kind of weird because it mostly is economical. Like it is in relation to economics and. But the classes are not only economics, but it seems that the money always, brings us to the edge or sort of starting this class struggle.
Well, like you said, when the revolution happened, the rich becomes the middle class, the middle class become rich, but it seems like we will run out of the revolutions since we don't have the middle class,
Yeah,
but that gap between between rich and poor and middle class, it's wider and wider, expanding almost every day. And what do you think about that?
Yeah, listen, I...
Because, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, when the revolution happens, somebody have to take that place of the rich people again. And that's the balancing the scales.
Yeah,
somebody needs to put these people in control.
This place is under new management.
Yeah,
by order of the Peaky Blinders. But back to the subject. There is this in, I believe, when you're in the lower income bracket, you have kind of developed this hate for the people who are richer. Almost it's like built in you that way, but. One of the things that when you're born into these classes, they put you, I don't want to sound like some guru, but the important thing is...
You already...
The important thing is to believe and to have the ability to live in kind of society and the governmental structure that allows you to go up, to escape it, to advance in society, whatever, India knows about that problem.
Yeah,
definitely.
But that's the bad example of hierarchy.
Yeah, yeah. When you can't, like, you literally cannot escape what you've been born into.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the point of the hierarchy is so the valuable assets to the community, the people who have skills, talents, who are hardworking, can have some way of measurement and some way of viewpoint so they can achieve their goals and so they could climb that social hierarchy to the top of the pyramid. Because if you didn't have some kind of hierarchy which would measure who is successful, who is not,
yes,
then you wouldn't have the means, the motivation, and the goals to achieve something better,
Yes.
And
that's why classless society does work,
yeah,
basically. And that's one of the things about capitalism. One of the tasks that capitalism has to ensure, the capitalistic society, is that everyone can get the equal opportunity.
Yeah.
Not the equal outcome, because that's communism.
Yeah, that's socialism.
Yeah, that's socialism, yeah. We have to provide equal opportunity. And that way, you can... you can start off poor, but maybe you can climb. You can climb and climb and climb and be, you know, whatever you want. You can, not to get into inspirational talks right now, basically, like in that connection to the rich, like one of the famous ways of dealing with rich and their money is, you know, tax the wealth, tax the wealth. You hear it all the time, tax the wealth, tax the wealth. Which is hilarious because I actually read in the United States that they want to increase basically like on the 60% of the wealth tax, something like that. But basically those taxpayers, like super rich, they, whether you like it or not, and it's hard for maybe some people to admit, they provide the jobs. They actually pay, like one guy that's worth maybe like a $15 billion is probably going to pay more tax than an entire city combined, you know, on the income. And that's hilarious. And the wealth tax is kind of weird because people don't understand when you tax the businesses, when you make it harder, when you make it more expensive to work, those people are now unwilling to do business in that place. They're unwilling to have that kind of money. So they just move away their income, you know, and they make those places poor. Like France tried the push the wealth tax from 2000 somewhere, and around 42,000 millionaires left the country.
Yeah. Well, you know what the Laffer curve is?
Yeah.
Because the Laffer curve shows what's the maximum of the tax that you can, that government can put on the taxpayer.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, when you have such big taxes, like you said, like 60% they wanted to put in the USA, it's so demoralizing for all the people, for all the future entrepreneurs who would like to start their own businesses, especially for small businesses that would like not to amass huge profits, but just to survive, you know,
yes.
Because basically today, all social hierarchies from poor to non-existing middle class are living from paycheck to paycheck, basically. And when you have, I think that economic views today have changed, because almost if you ask any economist, even the politicians, that they would say you cannot raise taxes, you know.
Yes.
You know, there was even initiative 10 or 15 years ago by European Union, you know, the whole European Union, you know, the blessed ground.
Yeah.
And it has this initiative that we should implement the global level of tax, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All countries, all same, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it actually was.
That won't work.
And no, because not every government not every country offers same services to its citizens for same amount of money, you know.
Even if it was 0%, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, no? And you know who was actually the one that stopped that initiative?
Yeah.
It was the USA. Because it got the letter from 250 economists of the world who said that it was actually not working, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, well,
not to explain it now because it's not the theme, but there's these changes in opinions and viewpoints.
Yeah, 100%. But it's kind of like we live in Montenegro, which is not...
It's but not, we should speak about social hierarchy.
But no, even this, like, think about this. Being poor, like United Nations, you hear all the time.
Yeah.
We have to take... We want to eradicate poverty and all these
things. Oh, yeah, they want.
Yeah, those utopian dreams, like... poverty isn't just the economic issue.
No.
And the poor around this world, like, think about it. It's almost a mindset for some.
Yeah.
And this doesn't, again, this isn't something.
Give a man a fish, he will have a lunch. Teach him to fish.
Yes. And
he'll never be hungry.
But George Orwell was speaking about it in his book, which is semi-autobiography, down in Paris and London. He lived with the poor people, homeless people, and it was actually quite a read. But also that, like, think about it. There is a, in this world, there are people who cannot afford water, food, or shelter, you know. And there are parts of the world that are so fucking advanced that they're like years ahead.
Yes,
like we're in the different centuries almost. that is kind of thing that we, when you talk about classes, that we should think about it. Like, we shouldn't think about lowering the upper, but, you know, elevating the, you know,
the lowest.
The lowest, yeah. Because I don't think it's utopia to work that for every man has a water, has a shelter, and has food, has the ability to make that happen, you know. That's the kind of thing, this kind of philosophy to a class that we should take. Not to think about, let's tax the rich, let's bring them down so we can all be fucked together. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, elevate. Let's make again
let's make America great.
Yeah, great again. No, but build better, you know, like,
yeah.
Elevate if it's possible.
Well, listen, I mean, the minds of the common citizens are occupied, but in aspect of social hierarchy, it's occupied by idiotic themes like differences between women and men, gays, LGBTQR, and the plus.
Yeah.
This is to get us cancelled.
Yeah.
Let's aside this.
I don't
know. Yeah. I don't want... it's so idiotic to think about that things, because you have the real problems that you need to solve, because it doesn't matter if you talk about this one or that one and not acting upon.
But it's also like the status isn't just a money thing, like we mentioned. Like, think about this. Maybe you were a rich Jew in 1939 in Nazi Germany. You were maybe very rich, but you weren't, you know, big on the social hierarchy. You were in a very bad position, you know, and these are these, like, things that are so fucking us up, because we can't separate from that, from this imaginary power status that we have, this social status, this, you know, ethnicity, religion, you know, whatever we think is superior. And it's not that, like we mentioned on the beginning, are we condemned to this? Did we create them, or did they create us? It's almost like every
time... a fact. It is a necessary solution.
And we just further it up every time we create a new tribe, whether we call it a religion, whether we call it a sports club, country. Yeah. You know, it's always like
hierarchies are effective.
Yes,
I mean, you can look at this from the if you look at the companies, because every company has the hierarchy. Sometimes
it can't be the same level as CEO.
Yeah, that's the fact.
But he can earn enough.
Imagine if janitor in one company says, "I want to have the equal pay like CEO."
Yeah, that just fly. Fuck you.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
But people today, I bet some people will be like, "Why the janitor isn't paying?
Yeah,
he should own the means of production and." That will solve all our problems, but it won't.
Yeah. Well, we can solve every problem.
Yeah, we can. Yeah.
So what's the quote of the day?
So social warfare. Let's kill everybody. Let's pick the tribes and, you know, fight.
You're just kidding, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Fight to the death.
Anyway, we have, I have a quote from the esteemed lawyer and one of the people that, you know, his statue is in front of our law university. Law, Mr. Baltazar Bogišić, and his quote is "Pravdi je nasilje najgori protivnik." Translated, you would say, "To justice, violence is
arch nemesis."
Is arch nemesis? Yeah, sorry.
Or the mortal enemy?
Yeah, arch nemesis. So, justice, you see. Violence, no. We have to preserve justice, but we're not violent. Okay.
Yeah.
No violent protesters.
And said,
when we need to behead some fuckers from the government.
And here's the suggestion bonus. What's on Jordan Peterson's video about dominance hierarchy? That's the good one.
Yeah, those are good ones.
Yeah.
We stay genuine, uncensored, and unscripted, and we always will, as we have to order our usual. Share us, subscribe us, and stay tuned until the next Wednesday.
Iguzo!